All right, back here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Love this. Good stuff, Logan.
Nothing like a little Curtis blow to get Friday morning going, man.
You got that right.
That'll crank you up if you aren't already cranked up.
Absolutely. Fitting for our next guest as we are joined by Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean. The only problem right now, though, Logan, they're not playing basketball.
Yeah,
that's the sad part of this. Hey, Coach, good morning. How are you today? Hello, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Hope you are as well.
Yeah, we're doing fine. I mean, we're just trying to navigate like everybody else is in this world, but my family's healthy, and that's all you can really ask for, and you just keep hoping and praying that everybody else that's dealing with this continues to get better.
Could you have ever imagined in your life we would be in a situation like this? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I think what's amazing, you know, is watching how people are trying to support one another. You know, and I think it just puts an unbelievable perspective for all of us that we've got it so easy, no matter what we're dealing with all the people that have this illness, with all the families that are affected by it, but most importantly, with all the people that are truly on the front lines of it, in the medical facilities and the healthcare facilities, all the people that do that. The people that have got to continue to put themselves in position to help others and put themselves at risk, all the different lines of work that are doing that, it's just amazing. And it's great to see people want to encourage them, because ultimately those are the people that are going to help make a difference for how this all turns out.
Talking with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean.
Coach, I guess the last year or so, a lot of questions, in fact, probably most of them asked your way, have involved Anthony Edwards, but the reality is he's gone for the NBA draft, and your program here in Georgia will still tick on without him, obviously, but you've said over and over throughout the year, the amount of new people, new players in that program was sort of astounding, but there a lot of those will be back next year, so what is initial life without Anthony Edwards looking like for the Georgia basketball program?
Well, I think the bottom line is everybody that's in the program has got to develop. Mm-hmm. And this would have been a very important time for us. You know, we would have been, when the season ends, you take about a week, and then you get into your off-season program. And obviously, a few days before all this even started to transpire, and weeks, you start to think, okay, this is what's really got to get better this spring. And I think the bottom line is, we've just got to improve. I mean, we've got to get mentally tougher. We've got to get physically stronger. I think leadership inside of this program has really got to take off. And then we just got to have really good skill development. And when that comes, and then we also have to add some people. We've added some people in the fall, in the early signing period. And right now we're very, very active in the recruiting process, knowing that it's an extremely fluid deal because kids are becoming available literally every hour inside the transfer portal. And there's still kids for us to sign that we've been recruiting throughout the year. There'll be kids that will make a decision to reclass a year up. I mean, there's so much going on with recruiting that you've got to be active there. So I think the bottom line, though, for anyone is they've got to have an unbelievable desire to want to get better. And if you don't, it doesn't matter what sport it is. I mean, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, and managing, or talking about roster management, which is, like you said, just is very complex, a lot more than it used to be. Are you good with the, I guess it was going to be next month, right, that the NCAA was going to allow players the one-time transfer without having to sit out? Is that something that you're good with?
Well, I think, I'm not sure when it's going to come. I mean, there's the potential that it could still come this coming August. I'm not exactly sure when the vote is going to be.
But okay.
It is what it is. The bottom line with that, there's a lot of, you can look at it with the glass half full, you can look at it half empty, but the realism part of it is this. If they don't make some adjustments into the academic part of this as to how you're penalized if somebody leaves your program with the academic progress rate, and the graduation rates, if they don't make some adjustments on that, it's going to really devastate programs. It's going to devastate programs and what they're allowed to do. I mean, so there's a whole bunch of things that have got to get done, that have got to be clear before they allow something like that to happen. And I think the main people, I think like our league, the SEC, They seem to get that, and I think that's really important. So I just hope that the other people that are voting on this and the people that are making these decisions understand the ramifications this is going to have on programs, because I think it's coming. I think it's just a matter of when, not if. But there's no question that the adjustments and checks and balances have got to be put in this, because it's already hard. You can't coach a program and coach a team with kids in. And I think more and more that's what's happening. And now as soon as you allow this level, basically a free agency, to enter into college sports, it's going to get harder and harder to make sure that you've got people, that you've got players that are in. And it doesn't matter what sport that it is once it happens. I mean, I know I got a text a little bit ago from the legendary swim coach at Georgia, Coach Jack Barley. Yeah, he's on his way. He's listed. So here's his shout-out. He's got the same issue coming.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't matter how long you've been at it. You know, in this day and age, you've got to do everything you can do to get your players, when they're playing for you, when they're competing for you, when they're going to your school, to be all in. And I just think so many of these things are going to make it easier for kids not to be all in.
Talking with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, is recruiting closer to home a bigger deal with this, because some players are just might get homesick, and if the farther away they live, the easier it is for them to move back? Or am I asking a question that probably isn't as big a deal as some people would say it is?
Well, I think just like every recruit is a case study unto itself, it's the same thing with a player. And I think different things go on. I mean, what you're trying to do is build an incredible environment for them. You're trying to build an atmosphere for them where they know they're getting better, where they know they're surrounded by people that care about them. You know, it can't replace their families, certainly, but it's got to become their extended family. It's got to become their next family. Like I tell players and families all the time, no one is going to replace their mother or father. No one's going to replace grandma, grandpa, whoever is raising them. But the coach better be on the next line, all right? The coach and the people that he surrounds that player with better be on the next line, and that's what the coach has got to work to. I mean, you've got to really work to build a family atmosphere. And in this day and age, it gets harder and harder because it's so easy to leave, and there's so little ramifications on you if you do. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a realistic thing. It's here, and it's coming. But the bottom line is you've got to do everything you can do to make your environment one where not only they get better, but where they understand there's a discipline that goes into this. There's a level of respect and desire and determination you've got to put into this. And at the same time, you better be concerned about making sure it's going good for your teammates too. And it doesn't matter what environment it is right now in college sports, you've got to work to build people to get them to want to see their teammates be successful. When you get that, you've got a chance to be really successful. If you don't, you're going to fail.
Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean along with us.
Coach, I know the last season, if you want to look at it at wins and losses, probably wasn't exactly what you wanted to have for the season. But as far as the crowd support at Stegman Coliseum, you not only broke, but you basically shattered attendance records. I know you speak very highly often of the student section and what they bring to Stegman. I know as far as like what you can pull away from this season, you have to be satisfied with what happened inside Stegman as far as the fans go.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and it has been incredible. And when you take over a job like Georgia, you know that there's a level of passion inside the athletic department, inside the school. I mean, all you have to do is look at what some of these other coaches do. All you have to do is look at the football team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is you don't know how it's going to go for you, and you want to do everything you can do to get them as excited about your sport. And I think that's exactly what's happened. And our fan support has been absolutely incredible, more than I could have asked for. And and I thought our team got better. I mean, we were up and down. There's no question that our inconsistencies hurt us. And we were never as good a shooting team as I thought that we would be. And we work hard at it. We work hard at the three. We work hard. We scored at the rim. I saw a percentage. I think we were third or fourth in the country. I saw the statistic yesterday at scoring points at the rim. And I know we had the second best transition offense in the country, but it wasn't close to the shooting from the perimeter that we've got to get to be as successful as we want to be in the SEC and beyond. And so I think that's something that we address daily, going back to your first question about how do we get better and what do we do to improve. And then the same thing with our recruiting. We've got to recruit people that can make shots for this team, because that just raises a whole other level of energy for your team on the defensive end.
How will you address that? I know Rodney Howard is now gone, so you got an extra scholarship there, but is it about rim protectors, defenders guarding the three-point line? What are you looking for with these guys that you've got scholarships available for?
Well, we've definitely got to get bigger. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we've got to get some size, but we've got to get people that are going to guard, you know, that the defense will guard. And the other big thing for us, like my last four bigger players on our team, the last three we had at Indiana, then Nick Claxton, they're all playing in the NBA. You know, Cody Zeller, Noah Vonleh, Thomas Bryant, and then with what Nick did for us in 1 year, and he wasn't, I mean, we played him as a guard, basically, at 7 foot, and he did a great job with it. But those guys could pass. Those guys could score. There was an energy about them. That's what we've got to get. You know, we've got to get some people that can make other people better. And what happens is, if you get somebody that's limited and they can't help you, all of a sudden they hurt you because they can't make anybody else better. So I think that's what we've got to get in size. We want to get some multidimensional guys with size. And certainly rebounding is the cornerstone of this league that you've got to have. But ultimately, we've got to get people that can make plays, that can score, that can make each other better. Like I said, we've got to get much quicker ball movement on our team this year from a consistency place. And again, I say that we did some really good things offensively, had some very good defensive nights, but wasn't close to what it's got to be for us to take the consistent steps we want to take. And again, kids today, they're going to play defense a lot better and a lot harder when they're making shots and where their team is making shots. And that's something that we've got to continue to address in our recruiting.
One of your stats that I love that you keep up with, I believe it's, now correct me if I'm wrong, three straight possessions scoring and three straight possessions defending without getting stops.
Yes.
So how did
Absolutely.
You guys do this year for your, you know, for your goals? How did we do on that, those stats this year?
Again, like our team, some days really, really good. And some games not close. Another big thing for us is deflection, because deflections are a barometer of active defense. And like I tip the ball and you grab it, that's a deflection for me. It's a deflection for you. A steal, a block shot, for me, drawing a charge is worth two deflections. But getting a hand on a ball, it's active defense. And I think for us, those are areas that we weren't as good. You know, I had teams at Indiana that averaged 47, 48, 49 deflections. This team averaged 39. That's the difference sometimes on getting three stops in a row.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a high number. People would say 39 is a high number, but it's not as high as it needs to be with the activity of hands. Right? Well, it's the same thing with the three stops in a row. If you get three stops in a row seven times or more in a game, you're going to win a whole bunch of your games. And there were times that we did that, and there were times that we didn't. It's a matter of really getting cohesiveness and getting your team to understand the level that's got to go play after play, because you're always trying to preach possession by possession, next play, all that stuff. And that's where three stops in a row, three scores in a row comes in.
Coach, before we let you go, by the way, happy birthday from a couple of years ago. A couple of days ago. That was probably one of your stranger ones with what we're going through right now, But happy birthday. You and I are a similar age, and I got to ask you, and I hadn't even brought him up yet, but the legendary Curly Neal passed away yesterday. And what do you think of when I mention Curly Neal?
Well, first of all, thank you for the birthday wish. I was really fortunate as a teenager. I got a chance one night to be a ball boy at Michigan State. It was right after Michigan State won the national championship. And Sam Sawyer of the Washington Generals, I was out getting autographs before the game, and he asked me to be the ball boy, right, for the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
Well, what it did when they came to Michigan is it grew into me working with the Globetrotters. So
wow.
I actually was a Globetrotter. It was the Globetrotters over anything else for me growing up. And I had a chance to be behind the scenes with a guy like Curly Neal, Geese Ausby, Nate Branch, all those guys. Curly Neal, really, he should be in the Hall of Fame by himself. I mean, I know the team is, but he should be in the Hall of Fame by himself. What the level of joy that he brought people like you, people like me, people our age, and a little obviously older and younger, what he brought with the pure joy of the game and the excitement that he had, there's no question that was a springboard for a lot of people. I mean, I was a kid getting to watch that up close. I never missed an ABC Wide World of Sports or Globetrotters special. The Globetrotters were it for me. I mean, they were the absolute deal. Yeah, and Curly Neal had a lot to do with that. So it was sad. I mean, it hits you. What it does is it brings back, and I'm sure it did for countless others like you and me. You know, we're talking about it right now. That's exactly what it should be. That man brought a lot of joy to a lot of people in the game of basketball. And I think that's what's incredible.
It's right, yeah. I saw him in the Omni when I was a kid over in Atlanta, and I'll still never forget that. It was great stuff. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, they were packing arenas like the Omni.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the level of where the Globetrotters were. And my kids, you know, I'm talking about Curly Neal yesterday. My wife knows that I have a 24-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 14-year-old. They don't have a clue, right? Like, they don't know. And it's too bad. That's why the Globetrotters were so great for so long and still have their place. There's no question about that. Big Daddy Loft and people like that. But they were incredible. And I know that they triggered something in me that made me love basketball, that carried into me being a coach, no question.
I had no idea I was going to get that response from you. I didn't know your connection to the Globetrotters. That's very cool.
Loved it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Glad to hear that. Well, we look forward to some normalcy getting back, but for now, hunker down. Glad to hear your family is safe and healthy, and thanks so much, Coach, for taking a few minutes and chatting with us. We'll catch you again soon.
No, I appreciate it. I just want to say one more time, everybody that's out there listening, every chance that they get, and I know you guys agree with this, anytime we can help, encourage, thank somebody that's on the front lines of this and the healthcare systems, that we have to do it. Because what those people are putting themselves in the direction of every day, think about the people that are going through this with the virus, the coronavirus, that don't have their families around them right now because they're quarantined and they can't get in to see them. And these people have got to do so much in the healthcare systems and be that person that is there to uplift the spirits while these people are going through such a traumatic experience. They just need our prayers, our guidance, our encouragement every chance we get.
Amen, Coach. Well said. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.